His name is Stego. He was a showgirl. Hello and welcome to episode, what is it, 21 of the Road to Change podcast. It's the 10,000 mile walk around Europe to stop the silence and stop children being sexually abused. My name is Matthew McVarish. I'm the European ambassador for the organisation Stop the Silence, Stop Child Sexual Abuse, based in Washington DC, but they work all over the world. And today, I have no idea where we are. We are in Yvonne, as ever. And we're somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know.
Somewhere just between somewhere. Rome and Slovenia. What about
Sigueda?
Well, yesterday we passed the CC.
And lie.
Yeah, we stayed in a wee village called Lie. Right. It's all true.
Yeah.
So, and with me, well, as ever.
Great with introduction after we spoke. That's good. Hey.
Okay.
Stego, yeah.
Yes, yeah, Stego, and he's not from Spain. I'm so tired, I probably sound drunk on this podcast. Yes, I'm walking to Slovenia at the moment. Stego is driving Yvonne. We're still in Italy for the time being. We've been in Italy since the dawn of time.
I mean, it must be...
When did I leave Malta? It was the 31st of May.
Jack got here on the 12th of June. And then we left on the 18th or something. Maybe, I'm not sure, it was like the 20th of June or something, we went over to Italy, and then we've been here since then. No, it can't be.
No, because I was
not
the same.
June. May, that must May, be May. May.
Yeah, so.
May. So, that's 2 months.
Yeah. It's mental. Yeah. Italy is, like, gigantic. Because, like, we're walking lengthways up Italy, if you're walking across Italy, take a couple of weeks, maybe. But because...
From the very bottom.
From the very bottom, across Sicily, and then from the very tip of Italy's toe to wherever we are right now.
So, I think I saw a sign, it was like 200 and something kilometres to Rome, if you drove on the motorway.
Okay.
So
I should be further on the road, but unfortunately, I still have this strange not-wellness going on, so... We left Rome on time last Saturday on schedule, and after about 2 hours walking, I had to stop, and then we rested for a couple of days, so finally got on the road. I'm not walking as fast as I could be if I was 100%. I'm walking 45 kilometres a day just now, which I can do 50. I can do 69 once. No.
There's no point in doing that.
There's no point in pushing myself.
We're still on schedule.
We're on schedule. We're getting there. I just think I just feel a wee bit like Rome could have gone better. We could have.
No, absolutely.
I think the fact that I was lying ill, you know, whilst in between the couple of meetings that we did have, I just didn't have that fight in me where I normally have in the city to actually try and engage with it. And Rome's like the European New York. Rome is huge.
It's huge, yeah.
You know, and it's got the Vatican, it's got the world's press. Trying to get Rome's attention is actually incredibly difficult, and that doesn't mean it's impossible, you know. So I should have done better, but I just didn't have it in me that week.
No.
So
you look a lot better now.
Yeah,
made an improvement there.
Yeah, I figured, you know, that way I was lying around feeling ill for about 3 days, and I figured if I could either walk slowly feeling ill, or I could lie here feeling ill, and one way we get somewhere, and the other way we don't. So I might as well just keep plodding on. But we're getting there, Stego.
Absolutely.
How are you feeling, Stego?
I feel good.
That was convincing.
The weather's been...
Well, we're up in the mountains right now.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I never knew this, but it rains in the mountains twice a day. Always does, no matter
what.
It's
raining now.
So. Yeah.
But other than that, I feel good. We sat still for like a week and a half. In a campsite, and it was just painful.
Yeah, it was chronic.
Yeah.
But the thing, we were in this campsite just in the outskirts of Rome. Rome's very expensive to stay in the middle, so we were in the campsite just on the ring road. You know, and there's this weird thing about Italy, which I didn't really know until I got here, which is because of the Vatican being here. Sorry, that's a kettle boiled, guys. Because the Vatican's here, there is a sense that in the past few years with the Catholic Church's relationship to this child sexual abuse scandals and all that kind of stuff, and Pope Francis, of course, as we know, is making strides in actually addressing the issue in ways that previous popes hadn't.
No, I actually read today that he announced that 2% of all the priests around the world are paedophiles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that kind of statement alone would never have came from Ratzinger, who, you know, either didn't deal with it or dealt with it in a completely non-transparent way. But anyway, there's a thing about Italy in general which feels like this issue is, you know, in the UK we have the yew tree. At the moment there's the Elm guest house, you know, there's the various celebrities who've from cases going back to the 60s and 70s that are now coming to court, and people in the UK are getting bombarded with information about child sexual abuse. But just because you're being bombarded with information doesn't mean you know all the facts. In fact, you know, consider the source. Very often the newspapers report how they, you know, I mean, look at what happened to Road to Change in Cyprus with the Cyprus Mail. The newspapers reporting of child sexual abuse doesn't give people an accurate representation of the fact. And I think that's maybe what happened in Italy, because we were here in Rome, you know, we'd had massive media coverage in pretty much the last 17 countries or something. We get to Italy and we couldn't get anyone to engage with the issue. And that's not because they don't want to engage with the issue. It kind of feels like they already have so much that the public maybe feel a wee bit battered around the head with it. Because anyone I spoke to in Italy and said, "I'm walking for child sexual abuse," they go, "Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah." You know, and they have this kind of knowing, they roll their eyes and go, "Yeah, we know." And I'm like, "You don't know." It's like, child sexual abuse isn't just that thing that happens in the Catholic Church. Child sexual abuse that we're talking about is, you know, that happens within, you know, 46% of it happened within the family, you know, within the community. It's not just within religious community, you know. So it's been frustrating trying to engage with Italy, because it feels like they don't want to deal with it because they've already think they have dealt with it, which is not the same situation we had in like Estonia or Bulgaria, where, you know, if they were just new to it. They're not new to it here in Italy. They've heard about it constantly, yeah. You know, and a lot. Stiglo's chopping potatoes here as we're talking. What time is it? It's 10:10 and we're still starting to cook. That's because I just finished walking.
Yeah, you finished at 9:30.
Sorry, I've got, you know, I'm not going so fast. But the good news is we're not finished in Italy. I'm going to walk to Slovenia and then I'm going to walk to Croatia and then we're going to come back to Rome for some stuff. Well, we'll tell you more about that in August. So what else has been going on, Stiglo? Oh yeah, the Cyprus Mail. They published some misinformation that we talked about, and I wrote an open letter which was on Facebook. You can check it out on the Road to Change Facebook page if you missed it. I got an email saying they are going to publish an apology, and they asked if we can clarify what information we'd like them to present. So that's kind of them. I look forward to that being published. I would just say though that situation with the press, I mean, we're doing an awareness project which relies on the media. We need the media to engage with what we're doing. That's why I'm walking. You know, I'm only walking to attract attention of the media in order to raise awareness of the issue. But sometimes, depending, you know, on the newspaper, they might have, you know, a certain political persuasion or political agenda which is not going to be conducive to our project. And I think the only example I can give, and I was thinking about this as I was walking the other day, is there was a study done of the media in the United States on reporting of crime committed by young black males. I think this is in the movie Fahrenheit 9/11, actually, if you watch it. But the study talked about the way that the media reported incidents of crime committed by young black males. And the study basically looked at how many incidents of crime were happening versus how much the media was reporting on it. And what they found was, in a month when actual incidents of crime had gone down, reporting of the crimes that were happening went up by 700%. 700%. So that means that the public perceived that crime's actually getting worse in the month when actually the crime was getting better, in a sense. So what that means is the media has the power to to affect the climate of the culture, or how the public feels, you know, and what the information they're getting, and that's controlled by the media. So when the Cyprus Mail talked about Road to Change, and the journalist chose to make comments about false reporting, why is it when he was making an article about me, about a survivor, he had to talk about false reporting? What about me or my story has anything to do with false reporting? Nothing. But the media can't seem to talk about child sexual abuse without somewhere, you know, making a sentence or making a reference to false reporting. And it makes the public think that that happens a lot. It doesn't actually happen a lot. Statistically, look at the research. It rarely happens. But the media coverage of false reporting is like thousands times higher than the actual counts of false reporting, so it makes the public think that it happens a lot. So that's what we need to get the Cyprus Mail to be very, very clear on when they do publish this. So we'll look forward to that being released. What else would you like to talk about, Stigl, on your journey here?
My journey here. It's not much. It's no offence to Italy, but I can't wait to get out of here. So.
No offence to Italy. It's a beautiful country with lovely people. It's just for our purposes, it's a very difficult country. Well, I mean, like, for instance, if you're walking across any country, like, imagine being in Italy where the open hours of a shop are, who knows what they are. And for our purposes, we need to get stuff when we can, you know.
So we can't even get a cup of tea today?
Tonight, we can't. It's Sunday, so we can't buy milk.
It's been closed all day.
Who knows that you can't buy milk on a Sunday? Now, you could maybe if you were in, you know, Naples or Rome, but we're not. We're in the middle of nowhere. And, like you know, the whole incident, we couldn't get gas for 2 weeks. So we're not eating very well at the moment, just because of the practicalities of being constantly on the move in Italy. So, but, you know, that's the nature of the game. No one said the road to change was going to be easy.
Absolutely not.
But, so thank you so much to the people back home, because the encouragement, when we said last week that I wasn't feeling too good, the response was incredible. Well, actually, a lot of people phoned us.
And wrote to me on Facebook saying, oh, you shouldn't walk with him now.
No.
Have a wee rest with him and then get back on track.
I'll be fine. I'll absolutely be. I'm not stupid. I wouldn't put myself in, you know, danger. But, you know, the show must go on. And I think doubly the fact that we didn't seem to achieve what I felt we could have achieved whilst we were in Rome, even though we are coming back to Rome. You know, that made me think I just want to get on with it. I want to get to Slovenia.
I mean, if you would have stayed longer, it's just, I don't think you would have made an improvement either.
No, I feel better when I'm actually moving. Yeah. It's better just to keep going. But, the weekly segment, where was this time last year? Last year, right now, I was in Brussels. I was in country number 4, Belgium. And that was an interesting week. Road to Change got invited to the European Parliament. I got a private tour, which was really wonderful. And, it was just exciting because I got to learn. That was when I learned, and you could go back and read the blog if it interests you, that as a member of the EU... as a citizen of the EU, I'm not an EU member state myself, I'm not a country, but as a citizen of the EU, I'm entitled to launch a petition, and that's where I realised actually, Road to Change is in everyone's hands. Actually, you know, we do have the power to make change. It doesn't happen easily, of course. You know, that's where I collected all the documents that you need in order to get to begin the million signature process. So that was exciting. I met a couple of NGOs there in Brussels. One of them works with trafficked girls from Africa, so it was intense to meet them. And I met another young group of people called Youth for Human Rights, who are a group of young people in every country in the EU, and they campaign so that children's human rights are added to the curriculum. And they were really exciting young people who have done really successful campaigning. So I was really... not quite the kind of thing I do directly, but obviously related. So that was fun. What else happened in Brussels? I met the ambassador of Burundi, which was incredible.
You've heard of that?
It's a French... it's not a French province. God, that's probably so offensive. It's an African state country where half of it was Belgian and half of it was French. But they were celebrating their independence. So I was invited to an event. And I went along and I met the ambassador of Burundi. I'm probably not saying that wrong.
I've heard the story before.
Yeah, and I met the ambassador and shook his hand, and I said, congratulations on the anniversary of your independence. And he said, thank you very much, we're very, very proud and very excited. And I said, can I just ask, who are you independent from? And he said, oh, Belgium. We're standing in Brussels, the capital of Belgium. I was like, all right, cool. Well, you know, happy days. I suppose that's what's going to happen in 50 years, you know, when Scotland's celebrating their independence.
Say, September, 18th of September, right now.
Yeah, I know, but unfortunately I'm not allowed to vote because I'm nomadic around Europe. I'm no fixed abode, so I don't not entitled to vote. Sorry about that, folks. I certainly would vote if I could. What else? I think this has been on my mind this week, and it's kind of unrelated, but I'm going to put it in the podcast. If you're in Scotland this week, please consider showing up in George Square in Glasgow on Saturday for the Gay Pride, because it's, for me, Gay Pride's always been this. I mean, I'm not marching for gay rights, obviously. I'm marching for child protection, I'm marching for the rights of survivors. I just happen to be gay, but it's been interesting on the road to change how the fact that I'm gay is in a, and it's never really came up, but it actually has in a number of situations. Like, I wouldn't mention it in meetings, obviously, it shouldn't matter. But I've had to be sometimes very selective in what information I give about myself, because I understand that the person I'm talking to, you know, and in some countries I've been talking to politicians, in some places it's been NGOs who are faith-based. And it's became evident to me that if the person I was talking to was aware that I'm gay, then that would perhaps inhibit our ability to have a productive conversation about child protection. The fact that I think that's very sad and kind of tragic and really ridiculous is inconsequential to the reality of the situation and the fact that I'm talking to this person. And sometimes you just need to go, well, that is the case. It shouldn't be the case, but that is the case. So I'm not going to mention I'm gay, and we're going to hopefully just talk about child protection. It's been. Having said that, I've never compromised, or I don't feel I've ever compromised my own integrity on this walk. But if you are aware of what's going on in Russia at the moment, and I'm very aware of it because, you know, at one point I was 20 miles away from the border of Russia. Russia's, you know, a gigantic country, and it is what it is, and it's got its policies, but there are, in the moment, factions of people going around. They're hunting, they're entrapping, they're torturing, and they're killing gay people. And they're killing them for being gay. Now, this, you know, I'm Scottish, and in Scotland we voted for marriage equality last year. Was it this year? Was it March? Yeah. Anyway, we voted for marriage equality, and we believe in human rights, we believe in equality, and Russia, you know, this isn't so much a child protection issue, but when they produce propaganda videos that about gay adoption, there's a cartoon, an educational cartoon that's been produced, and it's trying to suggest that gay people want to adopt kids so they can rape them. And that, I mean, that offends me on a cellular level. Like, every fibre of my being wants to react to that offensive. It's just evil nonsense that they're distributing. But I mean, beyond that, what's actually happening is violent and dangerous. And of course, if you're hunting and killing gay people, that's ethnic cleansing. Doesn't matter what century, you know, we're living in, that's what it is. The problem is, you know, the gay people in Russia don't necessarily have oil under their feet, so there's no superpower is going to step in on their behalf. The world doesn't seem to be doing anything about this. Anyway, I could go on about this for a long time, but the point is, if you're in Glasgow next Saturday, whether you're gay or straight, I hope that you'll go along to the Gay Pride and just show your support for to show that you believe in equality and you believe in human rights, and just to show that, you know, Gay Pride isn't just for gay people. It's for everyone to acknowledge that, you know, and this year, more than ever, in my lifetime, it's so important that other countries in Europe show that they don't tolerate that kind of evil and just, God, what the hell is going on in Russia? So yeah, that's my wee rant for this week. Have we got any luck of the week, Stego?
I mean, nothing exciting has happened.
Really?
I'm trying to think. It's basically eat, sleep, walk, repeat. That's my life. Yours is, you know, eat, sleep, drive, repeat. That's pretty much, we're trying to, you know, it's nearly another 1,000 kilometres from Rome to, how do we say it?
Slovenia, capital.
It's capital of Slovenia, which we don't know how to say yet. We will know, but we're scared to say it in case we say it wrong.
I know how to write it, though.
It's L-J-U-B-L-J-A-N-A. Exactly. How do you say that?
Ljubljana.
I want to say Ljubljana, and that's probably wrong. Yeah. That's probably wrong. What words start with L-J-U?
Ljr. In Swedish, we use that.
Well, you know, Jung. There we go.
Jung. Yeah.
What's the Swedish word for island? Sounds like I want to learn Swedish. I should be taking full advantage of living with a Swede.
Aye. But I'm not. I rarely speak Swedish.
I'm going to start learning French properly. I can speak French to a degree, but I think because we're heading back up in that direction, we're going to get it back, get it going again. I haven't spoke French since I was in Belgium, pretty much. So, as you can tell, we're knackered. We're still going. Sorry this podcast is coming late, but all we do is walk, folks. And because we're between cities, there's not a lot to report. It's just me ranting about political things, as usual. But I'm walking around Europe to raise awareness for the prevention and healing of child sexual abuse. When we're in the cities, normally, where possible, we engage with the government, the parliament, the NGOs. You know, in a number of countries, and I got information this week that we, Road to Change, successfully instigated the establishment of a new NGO in Malta, and we're really excited and proud to be part of that. A new service for survivors is going to be coming up together in Malta that wouldn't have existed or didn't previously exist before we got there. So that's exciting to have helped in our small way to make that a reality for the survivors of that country. So that's what we're doing, and we wouldn't be able to do it without your incredible, generous support. If you go to roadtochange.eu, we have a donate button.
We have two.
If you're international or if you're in the UK and you're able to give gift aid, you can see those buttons. And really, folks, we can't express our gratitude enough for helping us achieve what we're achieving over here. Now, we've got a long way to go, literally and figuratively, but we are creating change here in our own small way for some individuals and for some nations, and that feels good, and we wouldn't be able to have done it without you guys. So hopefully next time you hear from us, we'll all be feeling better. But in the meantime, let's just keep going. Any final thoughts?
1 week from now, what's that, 7 days? Well, it'll be 6 days of walking. It's 240. Now, I think we've almost been in Slovenia.
In 10 days, we'll be in Slovenia.
Yes, almost. We'll be almost in the border.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I think Slovenia will be lovely.
I think so. Been in Italy for too long now.
Yeah. Well, yeah, just if you're new to the podcast, The Road to Change is a project organised and supported by Stop the Silence, Stop Child Sexual Abuse, in partnership with the Moira Anderson Foundation. If you're a survivor of child sexual abuse and you don't know who to speak to, you can get in touch with us. Go to roadtochange.eu, get in touch with me, and very discreetly, if you want, I can help you find your local service. No matter where you are in the world, we'll help you find help, because it does exist, folks. And thank you so much for listening.
Thank you. See you next week.